Happy Tuesday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you live on Memorex from the undisclosed location, default route. And let me just say one thing really quick. Why I still have your attention in this video, because that's kind of the analytics that they want to push in video creation, is that you grab the user's attention as quickly as you can, because we have grown more and more into a culture of short attention spans. Let me just say, after saying all that, that it's not rocket science. Sometimes it plain and simply is not complicated. Sometimes it's almost prehistorically simple, fundamental, remedial even. If you sit up, before you even sit up, if you decide that after work, you gonna go to Stater Brothers and get you an 8-piece of fried chicken. If you decide that in the middle of your workday, even before your so-called lunch that you have to take within 5 hours after starting in California, or the company will be penalized and have to pay you an hour overtime because of the outrageous labor laws in this state, in which they basically cut 10 minutes off my workday. And it made me mad. I'm like, what? State just gives you everything. And how they gonna tell you can't have menthol cigarettes in this state? I mean, okay, it's a democracy. People get together and they vote. And if you can build a big enough coalition or get enough people on your side to go properly through the democratic process and vote and get your legislation put through, made into law, you win. I'm not disputing that. So I guess what I'm disputing is all the weird people in this damn state. This goddamn fruity-tooty, woods and tree-hugging, bunnies and rainbows, hippie, super liberal, San Francisco, sanctuary city-ass state. I love it so much. I love this place so much. I do. But it's not because of that. It's probably because of the weather. I'm probably used to taking for granted the weather here, because I am not used to really going through weather. I hear about weather in other countries, in other states, where it just rains all the time, and where it's like cloudy and gray, and you can go for months without the sun. Here, just I get irritated by the sun sometimes. One time I flew back from Ohio, got off the plane, LAX, came outside in all that sun, and it irritated me, it made me mad. I'm like, oh hell, here we go again. All this damn sunny, beautiful weather. But then again, one time I was in Denmark, I believe, and it rained the whole damn time, and I got wet and I was cold, and I flew to Barcelona, and then from the airplane, you know, an airplane, you're in a controlled environment. But I got out of the airplane, went through the airport, and I started to see palm trees, and it just made me feel better. I saw the palm trees, I was like, oh, so that's where we at. Okay. So weather does play a part, and I just take it for granted because I'm spoiled. I'm spoiled, yet not insensitive to the advantages and maybe privileges that I have. I don't know if privileges is the right word. Privileges sounds like something that was that you don't deserve, or something that you may not deserve. Privileges sounds like something that was given to you. It just kind of fell out of the sky. But if you earn the privileges, are they still privileges? I'm up there walking across the street. Homie ain't looking at me at all. I see traffic coming this way, so I know he ain't gonna be able to go until I get past him. But still, he wasn't looking at me at all. I wanted to make that eye contact before I walk in front of his van, because he pulled way out. Anyway. And yes, you know, still people walk right in front of your car. A couple did that to me yesterday. I'm in Walmart. They walk like right in front of the car. I mean, aren't you aware? I mean, how can you do that? Or like people crossing the street, you know, in the city, in traffic. And they walk right in front of the vehicle. Like a foot, 2 foot. I'm like, good God, no, I'll swing way around. Just like I'm going to swing way around these people walking here. Keep a distance from them. You know, I'm just trying to be away from everybody. I'm under COVID protocol. Still. Because COVID is back. I don't care what you say, COVID is back. They ain't going to shut us down no more. I think they learned their lesson on that. But COVID is back. Anyway. So, I decide pretty soon they're going to outlaw fried chicken. Pretty soon California going to say, all right, you can't get fried chicken here no more. It's bad for you. Because let's face it, the only place you can get good fried chicken is in the hood. If you go to these liberal, gentrified, uppity California places where Trader Joe's and Whole Foods dominate the area, where the average median price of a home is $1 million, and they have clean streets, and pretty much no homeless on them, you can't find good fried chicken. And then you'll find some places where gentrified, and now they got hot chicken. They ain't the same. Hot chicken is supposed to be the thing. And it's probably better for you. I bet you hot chicken is probably even good for you. The bastards. And then they get this gentrified chicken that you can tell that it's just better. Better meat, fried better, more sensibly, more healthy. You know, not as much sodium, salt, but does still have a fairly good taste to it. You can just tell it's just healthy and better. But it's expensive, which ain't a problem, because being assimilated into the upper mid to upper class tax bracket status person I am, I can afford it, and it's worth it for my health. I'll spend the money just for the peace of mind of knowing that I'm eating fried chicken, but it's at least it's better for me. So I give California that. I will give California that. As far as health-wise, there's a lot of peer pressure. There's just a lot of ambient pressure to be healthy. A lot of that. It's just in the air. It's just in the air and just about everything you do about being healthy and being conscious of your weight and how slim you are and how slim you're not. And they, California probably even invented fat shaming. So all the skinny people don't feel so bad. Speaking of which, so I get the chicken, right? After work, by the time after work came, I had worked myself into a frenzy. got in the car, drove to State of Brothers. I looked at the, you know, open chicken rack where they put the chicken, you know, to keep it warm, to grab and go from the deli. The deli was closed. I saw the chicken was put up. I asked the girl anyway. I said, eh. She said, nope. Fryer's done. Fryer closed at 7. And I saw one bag, a bag of chicken. It looked like a roasted chicken over there. I'm like, I don't want a roasted chicken. I want to fry it. So I kind of looked around and hopefully some fried chicken would miraculously pop up, and it didn't. I was like, oh, buddy. I'll go ahead and get this roasted chicken. Maybe they seasoned it right. So I go over there and get the roasted chicken, and it was fried chicken. I was like, hallelujah. It was the last bag. It was 8-piece fried chicken. And you know you ain't supposed to get the last bag of anything. It was sitting up there looking all lonely. I didn't give a damn, because I know State of Brothers chicken be good. So I got it anyway. I got it. I came back. When do I got this on? Do I got it on 6? Well, whoever I got it on, I'm going to leave it on now. And I'll probably got it on 6. I think I got the mic, my mic turned up because I was doing some stuff at home yesterday. I mean, on the laptop with this mic. But anyhow, so I got the chicken, got it home, looked at it. Come to find out, it's like 2 breasts and 6 wings. I was like, what? I mean, it wasn't no thighs. It wasn't no drumsticks. It was like 2 breasts and 6 wings or something like that. I'm like, what? So I broke off a breast, big breast too. Big, nice, white meat. Oh, they got, their fried chicken is just so good. It's probably the sodium. I don't give a damn. It's just so good. The breading. Oh, and just the amount of right amounts of greasiness. And it had been in the bag. So the breading wasn't crunchy. It was just nice and kind of soft, softish. Took a bite in it, and you get like a mouthful of breading and white meat. And the white meat was juicy and greasy. Oh, it was just so, so good. I mean, it's, and the breading is so good that you eat it off of the ribs. You know, like the ribs and the meat be having breading on it. I mean, the ribs, the bones be having breading on it. And you take them bones, you get all that good crust off of there. It was so good. And I ate that with a bowl of Cheetos and Doritos, State of Brothers Craven brand, knockoff Cheetos and knockoff Doritos. I had basically a country crock container, the big ones, 2 of them full up with my Kool-Aid sitting there with my mother. It was good. It was good. It was good. This and the rocket science part comes from, if you're gonna do that, if you're gonna go through all of that, and you wake up the next day, what do you expect Mr. Skill to say? How much do you think you're gonna like Mr. Skill the next morning after you do that? I mean, I expected 215.6. I got 216.2. I went to bed for about midnight or so. It was 216.6 or something. I only dropped like 0.4 pounds. And I deserved it. Again, it's not rocket science. If you're gonna do that to yourself, this is what's gonna happen. This is the result. Now, was it worth it? Probably. That damn chicken was good. And I got some more. And I'll probably do it again at night, but hopefully in a little bit more moderate way. Because I ended up eating 5 pieces of chicken. Well, I guess I'm gonna have to do it moderately, because I ate up all the chicken last night. I ate a breast, and a wing. I killed that. Then I went and got two more wings and another country crock, big container full of Cheetos and Doritos. Stater Brothers knockoff Craven bread. And it was good. And it really wasn't a country crock. It was the same size container that I get for my cottage cheese. Because I like to buy the big one. Where the price has gone up. I think it was $4.99 at one time. Now I'm paying $6.29. And I thought the price just went up for Instacart. The price also went up in the store. For Kroger brand sour cream, I think the 1 pound container, 2 pound container, I'm not sure what size, but the big one. Had so many of them things, I had to throw them away. I had to throw some away. Eventually, you just get so many of them. Because you don't throw them away, you keep them. You know, because put food in it. They make good food storage. And I always keep one that I put my potato chips in. My kettle, unsalted potato chips. Fill that up, fill one of them up with that. With that, my kettle, unsalted potato chips that I get on sale for $2.50 a bag that I gladly paid for. It was $2.50 a bag. It was $2.50 a bag if you buy four or more or five or more. So I bought like seven. Because I paid $3.99 a bag for those. Just to, you know, not to have the salt. And I love the crunch. What I do is I get them, I put them in one of those big containers. Sprinkle malt vinegar on them, shake them up, then sprinkle lemon pepper on it. And they're so good. I love crunching on them things when I'm eating something. So those, I just say, if they there and they're on sale, I'm getting them, I'm buying them all. That's just one of my undiscussed pleasures or purchases that I get no matter what. I'm getting it, you know. No matter what, I'm gonna get them. So, I ate that chicken as I'm sitting there with my mother and we're watching the Democratic National Convention, AKA the Black Lives Matter get together. Oh my God. Is everybody black? Is everybody black? Jesus Christ. Now granted, and now it's almost to the point that where you watch the Republican convention and the little sprinkling of black people they have in there looks more realistic than you watch the Democratic National Convention and everybody's black. Everybody's black or ethnic. Everybody, it's just ridiculous. It's just not real. It can't be real. It's definitely put on. It's overdone, DEI. And my thing is this, my main thing, it was just overdone and it's too much. And if I'm an undecided voter and I'm white and I'm poor, I'm turned off. I'm like, no, if I'm white and I'm poor, and I believe there's a lot more white poor people in this country, and you want that vote. If the white poor people are turned off by that, what they saw, and they go to Trump, I can completely understand why they would go to Trump, even though he got 34 felonies and this and that and that. Because remember, a lot of these people may or may not disrespect those kind of actions. Just like certain parts of the black culture may quote unquote honor the minor or misdemeanor criminal activities in the black community. And not maybe honor, but you know, kind of respect or whatever, you know, Because it's kind of the bravado to brag about, oh yeah, I did this, oh yeah, you know, we are, blah, blah, blah. You know, even your grandmother talk about, you know, a Medea type of thing. That's real. So, to think that these white people, these poor white people, who turn on the Democratic National Convention and don't see themselves represented at all, they're not identified. They're just not there. And you got to stop and think how big of the population is poor and white. It's got to be a large part of the population. A very large part of the population. There's probably more poor whites in America than there are black people, period. And if Trump can get them, because they look at the Democrats and say, no, even though if Trump is for rich people, even though he may step on the middle class, if you don't see yourself represented in that, when you see that Democratic National Convention, or you don't see yourself represented in their policies or their presentation or the look they want to give you, because everything was black. And people get up and talk about black women, black this. You think it was 1950. Like, racism was rampant. Oh my God, we got to stop this. Project 2025, take over. Oh my God, women's right to choose. Blah, 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 blah. And I go, blah, 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 because that's just not important to me. What's important to me is economics. It's the economy, stupid. And I said before, abortion used to be the cornerstone of my understanding in politics and why I voted Democrat. And I can't even understand why. I cannot understand why. Why that even mattered to me. I look back, I'm like, why did that even matter? But it was kind of impressive, though, I admit, that every person they pull up, I'm the president of the UAW, I'm the president of this, I'm the president of that, I'm a state legislator, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, and they all black and ethnic, or women, or Hispanic. There was like only one or two white males. There was only like one or two white males there. And Tim Walz is one of them. And he didn't get to speak. But then it looked like it turned. It looked like, you know, when we first turned the convention on, the place was empty. Because what happened is I logged on, I think YouTube, and I think I went right to the Democratic National feed, the live feed, and I rewound it all the way back to the beginning. So we watched it from the beginning. And I think the place wasn't even full yet. You know, they still did the national anthem. They did this, they did that. The place wasn't full. I was like, look, the place ain't full. What's going on? And then I said, oh, I'm speaking. You know, we watched a bunch of it too. We watched about a couple hours of that, it seemed like. Maybe an hour and a half of that. Then I fast forwarded. And I was like, hey, that's the scandal president. I said, he's an actor. I was like, that's the scandal president. And that's when, quote unquote, I guess the real show started, when they brought out the real people, the real Hillary, not the real Hillary Clintons. Hillary was there. Biden eventually spoke. AOC spoke. You know, all the heavy hitters came out. So if I watch it again tonight after work, because it starts while I'm at work, and I can't watch while I'm at work, I'll just fast forward to the good parts. You know. So, and I'm watching, what was I saying? I forgot what it was. Everybody was black. I was like, I was like, this message is definitely gonna have to have blowback. It's too much. It was too much focus on racism, too much focus on Jim Crow, it seemed like. See, like, they still talk about Jim Crow. But you know, that was like 75 years ago. 60, all right, whatever, 50, I even give you 50. It's a generation, things have changed. At least where I live. The white people I know, and the white people out here, like black people more than I do. I said that a bunch of times. Just like Kamala, I always tell that I'm a prosecutor, so I know criminal behavior. And Donald Trump, so I know Donald Trump. So we'll see how it goes. It's going to be very interesting come November 5th. It's going to be very interesting. And if anything, if the convention, and literally it seemed like, well, I kind of noticed too, even in the crowd, it was all black people, they would show, and the camera panned to the crowd, the camera do an ISO shot on somebody in the crowd or whatever, black, or female, or seemingly gay, or both, or all of them above, male, female, black, white, gay, straight, people who have it all. Super non-binary, super non-racial. But it did seem when Jesse Jackson came out in the wheelchair and was waving at people, you know, and it was a moment that even I wanted to give gratitude, give him his flowers, you know. Even though I kind of knew he wasn't going to speak, you know, what he'd been through, what he did for black people, just his whole career, his afro, how good he looked. All them boys back there was some good looking men. Andrew Young, Martin Luther King, you know, all them cats, they wasn't ugly. So you know they was back there swinging. You know what he did and his energy and just everything. In fact, I even walked past him one day. He was like in the airport going someplace. I was like, hey, you know. I saw him one-on-one time. So to give him his flowers was cool. But to see him in that wheelchair like that, from the person, you know, that we're used to seeing him as, that was a thing. That was definitely a thing. And it's like when Larry Blackman came out for Cameo and he was in such, wasn't in the best health. I had left, you know, but my ex-wife said it was, they couldn't watch. They had to turn away. They had to turn away and they left or something. They couldn't watch it. They didn't want to see that. You know, they want to see that virile childhood image that they had, a Cameo on Larry Blackman, but it turned to. And it kind of did that for Jesse Jackson. But I was going to say, being the adult that I am, or after the experience that I had, I knew that I had to get through that and appreciate the man and appreciate the moment and not let that, you know, get in the way of seeing him and crowd cheering for him and all that, keep hope alive and all that stuff. But then again, I knew I also was going to be mentioning it in my podcast the next day. So, but I'm stopping this because I think it's hot. I'm going to stop this because I think it's hot and I don't want it to time out. I just wanted to say that because I might be a racist. And I'm really not sure what to call it, what I am, but there's something that triggers me about the left. And every goddamn commercial I see be a black person in it. Everything is black and hip hop. Oh, one of the people said, almost put it perfectly. It said, yeah, we're gonna elect or have people in there who were black or something, ethnic or something, wore sneakers, did this, and listen to hip hop or something. It was a bunch of things that I just totally don't resonate with me from the stereotypical black community. And she just named a bunch of things that she said was gonna be included in the people they put in these positions. Wearing sneakers and hip hop and maybe braids, hair. I'm not sure what it was, but I'm gonna try to find that clip. But I was like, no, 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 no. I was like, no. Because these are the things that I almost feel detrimental to the black community. Stereotypical cultural standards or cultural tendencies of black people that I once gravitated to, that I once was proud of, that I still celebrate. I mean, just because I know they may not be healthy or functional or even dysfunctional, or they may cause more problems than the good they are, I'm still gonna participate in them. I mean, everybody ain't gonna make it. And if I gotta come down in your neighborhood to do certain things at your expense, maybe that's what you for. You know, maybe like exploiting, you know, people of countries that are resources and making them work for a dollar an hour. Who says that's exploiting them? Maybe a dollar an hour to them, it's like $1,000 an hour to us. That's why we go to China and make tennis shoes, because they'll work for 50 cents a day. Just because of our economy, and we're spoiled or privileged or whatever, to not have to, just because we're on a different economic scale. You know, like I said, I'll go down in the hood or go to this place or go down there to have some fun and maybe to exploit the people of that area for my pleasure or my entertainment. Got no problem with that. So that's why I really can't say, that's why I don't use the word right or wrong. I just say agree with and don't agree with, resonate or don't resonate. Or I'll try to put it in technological terms to where say why I think this behavior is detrimental. Why I think this behavior will not have a positive outcome if you condone it. Like fat shaming. Okay, shaming is wrong, but being fat is too. And again, let me clarify, when I say wrong, that's just my shorthand way of saying that I don't agree with it. There is no universal wrong, there is no universal right. When I say right or wrong, like I said, this wrong is, I believe, it's not conducive to the success of that entity, the entity that's taking on this practice. That's what I mean by wrong. And I don't want to have to explain all that, which I just did anyway. So I even forgot what I was talking about, what was wrong. But anyway, so I don't get it, but I'm gonna go back and find that clip. I'm gonna go back and find it. You watch. I'll go back and find it. She said, and we're gonna put so-and-so in there who had braids. Okay, I'm saying it wrong. Don't jump all over me for misquoting there, but you get the essence of what I was saying. She said, wearing sneakers and this and that. I was like, no. No, not at all. Not at all. But other than that, it was good. It was, you know, I sat there watching my mother. We watched it. And, you know, the UAW workers come out and support. People come out and support. They give their speeches. It's nice to see the rah-rah. I have to remember that all these are politicians and leaders who are people who are used to speaking, giving enthusiastic speeches, people who are used to, you know, leading crowds and leading people and chants and reading from a prompter and this and that. There was a couple of them who were nervous, you could tell, and a couple of them who kind of stammered a little bit, but as the night went on, they got better and better and better until you just had the eventual best. Miss Clinton. Mrs. Hillary Clinton. Still got it. But to see Steve Kerr. Now, Steve Kerr was the one. I'm surprised he was allowed to do that, or if he can do that. NBA could have stepped in, but the NBA probably know better than say anything. With the league being mostly minority, and he the coach of Golden State, San Francisco, the bastion of liberal thinking and sanctuary cities and free everything and do what you want, where hippies started. To see him in that situation, it did make me feel a tad, I wouldn't say uncomfortable. Yeah, uncomfortable for him, or for uncomfortable for, well, it heightened me. I don't know if uncomfortable is the word, but it did make me feel like, is you supposed to be here? What about all the Golden State Warrior fans who are conservative, or who are Republican or vote Trump? How they gonna feel about having their passion for sports all of a sudden be slightly politicized? Granted, once I think about it, we should all be over that. Eventually, we will be. We should all get to a point where everybody's opinions doesn't matter, and where you can be a Trump supporter and work in the most liberal of environments, and nobody gets mad, nobody wants to retaliate, nobody's all up your ass because you don't agree with you, don't agree with them. That's what we need to get. But I'm like, what I do is I kind of settle back, maybe a little too much, and understand that that's not where we're at, and I stay in there. Where the push should be to get everybody to accept certain things, to accept nuances like that, to where, like with the Pittsburgh Steelers. After the Pittsburgh Steelers Buffalo game, they had like one of the biggest press circles in the history of the football league, National Football League. My team is very religious. The Pittsburgh Steelers are like super religious. I don't care. Whatever gets them through. Whatever gets them through. Because I look at it. What time is it? 10 o'clock. And there's the train. 10 o'clock, y'all. See, 10 o'clock is when the train comes. We're going to see it. Sometimes it'll take a long time to get here. 10 o'clock, 10:02. So that's about what time it come by every time. I don't know if I'm going to wait around for it. In fact, I ain't. So, oh, there it goes now. Small one. Forgot where I was. Oh, about having the nuances and people's beliefs and accepting people who don't believe as you do, and, you know, still being able to have a discussion and communication with them, still be able to, you know, get along. You don't even got to get along. Just got to be cordial and polite, and just don't break the law, because the laws are in place. Just don't break the law and you should be good. But we're more, I think the general population is a little bit more primitive than that, and that they understand that it's almost quote unquote cool or the right way not to like someone or to dislike them or to hate the enemy, demonize the enemy, Don't associate with him. Don't platform. Don't talk to him. Why you have him on your show? Why you giving him a platform to speak? Blah, blah, and all that. You know how that goes. Or do you? Of course you do. Anyway, I think I got that off my chest, I feel. This way or that way. Then we'll see how they do tonight. I get off work, drive back to the default location, unpack. Well, I didn't bring that much this time. Unpack, set my stuff up for the work tomorrow. No, I don't. I don't even set myself up for work tomorrow. I just leave everything in the bag. Just leave everything in the bag and go on to work. Got to get gas. Car's on E. Drive across the San Gabriel Valley, Inland Empire, through Pasadena, Burbank, through Azusa. I used to live in Azusa, so I got a shout out. Anyway, swinging on y'all. Two times. For me, for the phone. And for the political process and the economic system here, which seem to be very tied together, for good or for bad, a market and balancing policing system based on financial reward or possibility. We all have governors. Money seems to be our ultimate governor and measurement. Everything's measured on the amount. Everything is valued based on how much another person will pay you for it. How much money a person will give you for any object or action or service. And I ain't mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. Two times. For me, for the phone. For every elementary particle that exists in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of everything. All. Hypothesis of all of everything as one. My name is Jeffrey.